بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the discussion on chapter 22, and this is part 2. The author, rahimahullah, cited a third verse in relevance to the title he had established, and the title is what has been mentioned concerning some of this ummah, that some of this ummah will worship idols. He cited now the following verse, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, قال الذين غلبوا على أمرهم لنتخذن عليهم مسجدا. Concerning the story of the people of the grave, of the cave, when the people of the city disputed among themselves about their case, they said, construct a building over them. This verse is in the context of the story of the people of the cave, and their story is amazing, as Allah stated about them in Surah Al-Kahf 18:9. Do you think, أَمْ حَسِبْتَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَ الْكَهْفِ وَالرَّقِيمِ كَانُوا مِنْ آيَاتِنَا عَجَبًا? Do you think that the people of the cave and the inscription were a wonder among our signs? And they were youth who believed in Allah, but they were in land of shirk, where people worshipped others besides Allah. They left this land, and Allah made it easy for them to reach to a cave. They entered the cave, and they slept there for a long time. That reached, as Allah described in Surah Al-Kahf, verse 25, ثَلَاثَ مِئَةٍ سِنِينَ وَازْدَادُ تِسْعًا. And they stayed in their cave 300 years and add 9. While sleeping, they didn't need to eat nor to drink. And it was from the wisdom of Allah that Allah turned them to the right and to their left in their sleep, lest the blood would settle at one side of their bodies. And after they left the cave, they sent one of them to the city to buy some food for them. And their story now was disclosed to the people of the city, and they said, we should erect now a building over them, meaning over their graves. Erect a building for worship. And who are these people who said this? They were the rulers during that time of the city, the rulers of that city. They said this swearing that they will do that, constructing a building or erecting a place of worship over them, and building houses of worship on graves is from the means that lead to shirk, as described earlier in the class. This verse from Surah Al-Kahf, which the author cited, tells us concerning the signs of Allah, indicating His perfect ability and wisdom, and that from the reasons for erecting places of worship on graves is due to the exaggeration regarding the occupants of graves. Why? Because these leaders respected those youth, and so they exaggerated in their status and ended up erecting places of worship on their site, grave sites. And so therefore the exaggeration regarding graves even if minute, can lead to that which is far greater. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ told Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an, when he sent him, that don't leave any image except that you obliterated, and don't leave any picture or elevated grave except that you obliterated, lest it will stay as a means that lead to that which is greater, and that is shirk. Then the author rahimahullah cited from the sunnah the following hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, latattabi'unna sanana man kana qablakum hadhwa al-quzdati bil-quzda hatta law dakhalu juhra dabbin ladakhaltumuh. قالوا يا رسول الله اليهود والنصارى قال فمن. It is reported on the authority of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, surely you will follow the ways of those before you, just as the flight of one arrow resembles another, just as the flight of one arrow resembles another. And this refers to the, we'll discuss it now, so much so that even if they enter the hole of a dab is a desert lizard, you would enter it. They said, do you mean the Jews and the Christians? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, if not, then whom? The term sanan means, this is the plural of at-tariq, the way. Now the statement of the Prophet ﷺ that you will follow the ways of those before you, this is general, this is a general that is particularized. Why? Because if we take by it on the apparent, then all of this ummah would be following those, you see, who were before us. But we say this is general but particularized. Why? Because there are people in this ummah who don't follow the ways of those before us, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that there remains a group of this ummah on the truth. This is one possible understanding. The second is to say that the hadith is general, and it does not necessitate that this ummah follows the preceding nations in all of its ways. Rather, some of this ummah may follow the preceding nations in some of its ways, or their ways, and others of this ummah will follow the preceding nations in something else, and therefore, this entails, and therefore this does not entail that this ummah will exit the fold of Islam. And having the hadith staying on its generality takes precedence. And it is known that from the ways of those before us, there are ways that does not take the person out of the fold of Islam, like riba, usury, dealing with riba, envy, aggression, lying. These are major sins, but they don't take the person out of the fold of Islam. And still there are things which take the person out of the fold of Islam, like worshipping idols. You understand now the meaning of there will be those who follow those before us. So the preponderating position is to say that the hadith stays on its generality, and that this does not entail that this ummah will follow the previous nations in all of their ways. Is that clear? Some may follow them in certain ways, others may follow them in other ways. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سَنَن. Sanan or as-sunan, meaning the ways. And they vary. Some of these ways constitute aggression against the right of Allah. And some of these ways constitute aggression against the right of the created. And let us examine some of these ways. From these ways, worshipping the graves and the righteous. This existed in the preceding nations, and it existed in this nation, in this ummah. Allah said concerning the people of Noah in Surah Noah, verse 23, 71-23, وقالوا لا تذرن آلهتكم ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواعا ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا. And they have said, you shall not leave your gods, nor shall you leave Wad, nor Suwa, nor Yaghuth, nor Ya'uq, nor Nasr. As we explained, these were the names of righteous people whom they ended magnifying and erecting places of worship on their graves, and they ended up worshipping them and took them as gods. Also, from that which existed in the preceding nations is exaggeration in the righteous. And now also this exists in this ummah. And from that is invoking others besides Allah. And this exists in this ummah. And from that, erecting places of worship on graves. This existed in the previous nations. And also exist in this ummah. And from that also, describing Allah with defects. The Jews, for example, said, as in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5:63-64, يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ. The hand of Allah is tied up. He doesn't give and spend of his bounty. And they also said, they described Allah with poverty, need, as in Al-Imran 3:181. They said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ. Indeed, Allah has heard the statement of the Jews who said, truly Allah is poor and we are rich. وَلَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. And they said that Allah got tired following the creation of the heavens and the earth. And amongst this ummah, there are those who said by this and even worse. From this ummah existed those who said that Allah does not possess hand. Isn't it? Don't you see them every day here? Don't they come here to these discussion places and state this? Don't you see them denying this to Allah? Huh? Isn't it? Yeah. and also from them who say that Allah is not able to do what He wants, and so He did not ascend the throne, and He does not descend to the lower heaven in the latter third of the night in a way that fits His majesty, of course, but they deny that, and that Allah does not speak. In fact, it existed in this ummah those who say that Allah is not in this world and that He is not separable from this world, distinct, and that He is not attached to this world, nor separate from it, nor distinct from it. They described Allah by that, or by attributes which makes, you know, Allah non-existing. And those who said that it is not permissible, those are from this ummah, who say that it is not permissible to point above in the direction of upward, that Allah is above the creation, that they said this is not permissible, and that Allah does not act, and he does not become angry nor become pleased, and that He does not love. This is the creed of the Ash'arite sect, the Ash'arite deviant sect. Also, eating wealth unjustly existed in the previous nations and exists in this ummah. From that is eating usury, dealing with usury, existed in the previous nations and exist in this ummah. Also, those who play around the legislations, and from that, for example, establishing the laws of punishment upon the weak, and lifted it from the wealthy or the honorable and so forth. This existed in the previous nations and it exists in this ummah. And from that is distorting the speech of Allah in word, in letter and meaning. Like the Jews, when it was said to them, ادخلوا الباب سجدا وقولوا حطة, as in Al-Baqarah 2:58. And remember when we said, enter this town, Jerusalem, and eat bountifully therein with pleasure and delight wherever you wish, and enter the gate in prostration or bowing, and say, forgive us, and we shall forgive you your sins, and shall increase the reward for the good doers. So they entered on their buttocks, and they said Hinta, and they did not say Hitta. They changed the word. Also in this ummah, there are those who did like that. They distorted the word Istiwa, rising over, ascending, to distorted it to Istila, taking over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Himself in Surah Taha 20 verse 5, الرحمن على العرش استوى. الرحمن, the most beneficent Allah, استوى, rose over the mighty throne, certainly in a way that suits His majesty. And from this ummah there are those who say that الرحمن على العرش استولى, see the distortion? Instead of stawa, they say stawla. That the most beneficent, Allah, istawla, took over the throne. وَعِيَادَ بِاللَّهِ Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah, you see the difference between this, istawa, and istawla. You see that? There is a lamb, right? There is what? A lamb. Istawa and istawla, there is a lamb difference. In letter, there is lamb. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim said, are you following, please? You check that, the difference. You see that? There is a lamb. Ibn al-Qayyim said, the lamb in istawla is additional, added by the people of distortion, just like the Jews added the noon in hitta hinta. You see that? Just as the Jews, he said, did with the word hitta, they added noon and it read hinta. And he wrote in his great poem, which is called An-Nuniyya. He wrote about this and he said, Nunul Yahudi, Nunul Yahud, the noon of the Jews, Walamu Jahmiyin, and the lamb of the Jahmites, because the origin of this distortion goes to Jahm bin Safwan. Walamu Jahmiyin Huma, fi wahi Rabbil Arshi Zaidatani. Both are, when it comes to the revelation from Allah, are additional. أمر اليهود بأن يقولوا حطة. He commanded the Jews to say حطة. فأبوا. So they refused. وقالوا and said حنطة لهواني. حنطة. وكذلك الجهمي. And so the Jahmite. قيل له استوى. He was told. استوى. That Allah rose over the throne. فأبى. So rejected. وزاد الحرف للنقصان. And he added this letter to diminish this great attribute of Allah. Clear? This is his poem. I read to you his poem. And this is a great poem. There are great discussions and explanations of this poem by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah. I will read it to you in Arabic now, so that you try to relate. I'll see if you will be able to pick up what he said. Nunul Yahudi. Yahud. Yahud, what is Yahud? Jews, yes, Jews. Okay. Nunul Yahudi, walamu jahmiyin fi wahi rabbil arshi zaidatani. Zaidatani, meaning additional. Amara al-Yahuda bi an yakulu hittatun fa'abaw wa qalu hintatun lihawani. وكذلك الجهمي قيل له استوى فأبى وزاد الحرف للنقصان. Can you sense poetry? Can you sense this beautiful poetry? This is Nuniyya. It is the Nuniyya of Ibn al-Qayyim. Yes, it is his. Nuniyya is rhymed with noon. Yeah, I think so. You can. In fact, there is someone who reads it beautifully. It is on one side. He reads it beautifully. No. Maybe I can hold a second here and we'll continue. Then also there existed in the previous nations those who took their rabbis and monks as lords besides Allah. And in this ummah there are those who oppose the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the opinion of their sheikh. And if you contemplate, however, if you contemplate the wording of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, you find it in agreement with reality, that you will tread the path of those who preceded you, but there remains a careful examination. Listen carefully. Is this narration, is this hadith a warning or attestation? You see that? The answer, there is no doubt that this is forewarning, not attestating and approvement. No one, you know, should say, I will envy and I will deal with usury and I will transgress against people because the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said like that, that we will follow the path of those before us. You understand? Whoever concludes this, we say to him, you are mistaken. Because there is no doubt that the saying of the Prophet ﷺ is in the position of warning. And that's why the companions said, Al-Yahud wal-Nasara, the Jews and the Christians, he said, who else? Then also we tell them that the Messenger ﷺ informed of things that will take place. Yet at the same time, he told us that they are haram by the text in the Quran. Like for example, he told us that man, the husband, will honor his wife and sever relations with his mother. And he informed us that man will disobey his father and draw near his, or bring closer to him his friend. And we know that by the text of the Quran, this is not allowable. But what the Prophet ﷺ intended from this is the warning against these deeds. Also, there existed in the previous nations those who said to the believers then that they are misled. Isn't it? Remember in the stories of the prophets, right? The believers who believed were mocked at, and the disbelievers labeled them as what? Misguided. And also existed in this ummah those who say to the believers, they describe them as they are reactionary. They are what? Reactionary. Backwards. So, therefore, sins has their origin in the previous nations, as detailed earlier. But the one whom Allah gave success to, guidance is guided. Therefore, in conclusion, you could find a sin in this ummah, except that that you wouldn't find a sin in this ummah, except that you will find an origin for it with the previous nations. And the opposite is true. Now, what is the relation of this hadith to the heading or to the chapter title which the author had established, when he said that part of this ummah will worship idols? And he cited this hadith as evidence. Why? Yes, there is relevancy, because since the previous nations worship the images and idols, so there will be from this ummah those who will do the same. And in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ described, let us have the hadith, حَذْوَ الْقُذَّةِ بِالْقُذَّةِ. Just as the flight of one arrow resembles the other, the qudda is the flight or the feather of the arrow. The flight of the arrow. And arrows have these flights, and they should be what? Equally the same. Otherwise, the shooting by the arrow will be imbalanced. And the Prophet ﷺ said, so much so that even if they enter the hole of a lizard, you will enter it. And we know that the hole of the lizard is so tiny So, if they would enter the hole of a lion, then by all means. So the Prophet ﷺ mentioned this for exaggeration. Just as the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, for example, whoever takes unrightfully a span of land, Allah will encircle him on the day of resurrection from seven earths. So how about if he takes unjustly an arm span? Then by all means, more. The companions said, do you mean the Jews and the Christians? This is one meaning. Another meaning is, أَهُمُ الْيَهُودُ وَالنَّصَارَىٰ? Are they the Jews and the Christians that you are referring to? Anyway, this is an exclamation. And the Jews are the followers of Musa, alayhi salam. And they were called Jews in relation to Yehuda. Yehuda, from the offspring of Ishaq, of Isaac. Or, since they hadu ilallah, hadu ilallah, turned to Allah in repentance from worshipping the calf. This is how the term Jews, Yahud, came. Either because they were referred to Yehuda from the offspring or grandchildren of Ishaq, grandsons of Ishaq, or from Hadu ilallah, turn to Allah in repentance after they worship the calf. And An-Nasara, they are the followers of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. They were called this name, by this name An-Nasara, in relation to the town in Palestine which is called An-Nasira. An-Nasira. And it's also said that this An-Nasara may also have come from An-Nusra. An-Nusra meaning help and aid. As Allah said in Surah As-Saff 61:14. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the tongue of Isa, Man ansari ilallah. Man ansari. Yeah. He said, who are my man ansari, my helpers in the cause of Allah? Inshallah ta'ala, tomorrow we will discuss the benefits of this hadith. As'alullah azza wa jal to make us from those who benefit from what they learn and to act correctly in accordance with the way that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.